in the Philippines. Of course, Philippines is a Catholic country. I literally grew up in a Catholic church where, I served there. I'm a member of the Catholic boys choir. I did a lot of things in the Catholic church. I'm thinking that growing up and one day I will become a priest. And that's my desire. But when American missionary came and... But I have questions when I was still in Catholic Church. And I have many questions about salvation. And I just praise God that the Lord answers a seeking heart when he sent that missionary came to our place. The missionary came, he's from Arkansas. And he's now maybe 92 years old. About 5 years ago, he came back to Philippines just to visit. We were about 2,000 pastors that came and say hello, that he influenced, and product of his ministry. He came in the Philippines in 1950, and he came back to Arkansas in 1992 or 96, if I'm not mistaken. And he personally trained me, so that's a great blessing. I have my first leather shoes because of the missionary. I have my first necktie because of him. So all everything first because of the man of God. And I memorized, when I got saved, I memorized that simple plan of salvation. And I go back in the, I studied in the Catholic college. So I tried to witness, preach to my classmates, though it's prohibited because it's a Catholic school, but I am a student council officer, so they cannot do anything, or else I can demand or anything, you know, because I'm one of the officer in the student council. So I praise the Lord. Some of my classmates got saved, and some of them surrendered to the Lord. And then about 4:30, when the class closed, they go out. I will be in front of the school, and I will shout about Jesus Christ. Amen. So I rejoice in the Lord that at the early age, he saved me. I got saved when I was 14. And I surrendered my life when I was 15. And since I'm now saved, and I don't want to become a priest anymore, of course, because I'm now serving in the church, choose to become a lawyer, a liar, or I don't know how do you call the liar or lawyer. But this is cool that I'm going. I plan to start enroll and take a criminology course, and then after 4 years, then I will go to law. But the school closed and they turned the school into a medical school, so I went straight to Bible school. So I've started Bible College in June of 1986, and then for many years, then after that, I became a pastoral staff, and then in 92 in the Philippines, I start planting churches. I started 3 churches in the Philippines, and then my pastor asked me to go to Thailand. So I went with him to Thailand, and when I went to Thailand, as the pastor and his wife experienced to be there, I can't find any independent Baptist church. So that broke my heart. And then one of the Filipino guy that helped us there, he said 87,000 families in that village, no church at all. I cry like a baby. I don't know what happened to me. So I said, well, I don't know. I'll go home. So when I went home to the Philippines, I really don't know what to do. I have a good church. My church provides for me. As a matter of fact, I drove different cars every month because I have a business selling cars. So what I'm saying is good. You know, everything is great there. I said, what I'm going to do there? Well, you know, Philippines is also a mission field. But you cannot resist when the Lord put that burden in your heart. So the first thing I have to do is to pray for my wife, because if he said no, that is the biggest problem. But she said, wherever the Lord leads you, we'll go. Amen? Amen. So, because, you know, she's my Holy Spirit. Wife is your Holy Spirit. If your wife says no, no. You see, marriage life is workshop. You attend those workshop, right? You work, she shops. That's why marriage is workshop. Okay. You have to understand that. Okay. So I went to Thailand. About 2000, we went to Thailand. Then I came to the United States to visit some of my friends and to tell them that I'm going to be a missionary in Thailand. I think I was here for a few months. And then, I don't know what year was that, I was sitting in the office. Suddenly the phone rang and I answered the phone. And somebody from your church, I don't know if Pastor Eric, the time, I'm not sure, who called and says, hey, we're looking for missionary. Well, I'm a missionary to Thailand. So I haven't been here to this church, and the church supported us already in Thailand. That's amazing. So when God really calls, He'll provide. Amen. I wish there are more churches like that, but I think one church in 1 million. Yeah, but we rejoice. Thank you for your faith. That's why I make a point that whenever I come to the United States, it's been a long time, to be able to see you and say thank you that you have been faithful partners in reaching the Thai people in Thailand. And we've been there since 2000, and the Lord bless the ministry. All you have seen in those pictures are Thai people who got saved into that ministry. They said that, according to their survey, I don't know if pastor have heard that, 5 years one Thai, or one Thai 5 years if you witness. So I said, yeah, it's really very hard, but everywhere is hard. Every country is hard, different situation. Thailand, even though they're very strict in Buddhism, very, very strict, laws, culture, and everything, it's very hard. But the good thing in Thailand is that they listen. That's the great blessing there. You talk to them, they listen to you. And some may refuse, but some would really, would attentively, would give their undivided attention. Why? Because they have never heard Christ. Just like that 92-year-old lady. She listened. And we patiently explain, as she patiently listened to what we explained to her. She got saved. She came to church, invited her neighbors. She followed the Lord in water baptism. And you know what blesses me there? Is that every time this lady comes to church, you know, she's 92. Livelihood or thing that support her is she would ride in a small canoe, go to this swamp area, water area, and then she will get this what we call morning glory. I don't know if you know what it's a kind of vegetable that grew on top of the water. And she will take that and she will bring it to church and she will tell, Pastor, this is for you. Oh, you know, that is probably, if you would think of it, it's nothing compared here. Maybe it's a 10 cent, but that for me, that is more than a million worth. Because you see a person receive Christ, life has changed. That's your fruit. That's your product. You see this in your prayer. So we rejoice in the Lord. And we have mission outreaches, of course, and reaching more people. We have 80 faithful time members. We have outreaches. And our goal, of course, these churches, they have their own Thai pastors that we train thrice every week, that we'll teach Bible lessons. And our goal, if you take our prayer card and you pray for us, our goal so you know how, what to pray. If you notice our church building, beside it is an open field. Next to us is a 17,222 square foot or square feet property that is for sale. All of the property in front of that building has been sold already, purchased by the government, because they're going to build 10,000 houses or housing. So 10,000, that means 10,000 families. Imagine 10,000, and we are the only Baptist church in that area, or in that province, or in that city. So we'll have that 10,000, there's plenty of people. But we are already there. So help when we get this property, it will allow us to build a Christian academy, and then we'll be able to organize our Baptist Bible Institute in that area, that we could ask all some of our men to come and study there. And another thing is that the purpose of selling that property is that the owner will build an apartment. So if he will build an apartment, we will rent to house our student. So rather than buying a property again and build a room, they're going to build it. That's a blessing. So help us pray. Because you know, one of the problems that the Thai people faces is that when a family got saved, they don't know where to send their children. It's all Buddhist school. And you teach the children about the Bible, but they're trained every day in the school from 7 to 7:30. Oh, there are some private school there. Oh, yes, but I cannot afford to send my child there. That's the pastor. No, I'm not. The price is, I don't know if you can send it also. You know, some of them is what, $10,000, $20,000 a year? Whew! Only those people who work in the embassy or drug lord, maybe, or government officers, I don't know, maybe they can, but ordinary people cannot. So they send their children to Buddhist school, government. So it's really very hard. But if we will have our Christian school in the near future, we purchase that property, and in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll be praying. Our people will make pledges so that we can build a 3-story building, about 10 rooms. Then we can have our Christian academy. So help us, we pray, that we could achieve this goal. And the price is $150,000. Very expensive, because Thailand is a small land or a small country. Land is very expensive, unlike in Texas. Big, but you can. We stayed with our friend the other night. They have a 6-acre property, and they bought it only for $30,000 or $50,000. Who? I wish I could buy that property in Thailand with that price, amen. But you can. It's very expensive. But and then January 1, 2015, the price will triple because of the Asia Economic Community, the 10 countries together, that will start in January 1, 2015. So please be in prayer for that. Amen. And if you can be of help, that will be a great blessing. Amen. And if someone there, $150,000, and we already have $30,000. Amen. The church already gave us $30,000. So if there's somebody there have $120,000, just sign the check. Amen. I'll go home tomorrow. No, but if you, the Lord burden your heart, you know, there's no, little is much when God is in it. Amen. And every little bit will count, and then when you collect them all, then we'll be able to collect that amount of money, and then we can purchase that property. And so please pray. And as the pastor mentioned a while ago, we have some churches, they have a new pastor, they don't believe in foreign mission, so they cut support and a big amount of money. But thank the Lord, your church, even though you don't see missionaries, you support. Amen. That's a blessing. So thank you very much. And if you've seen our orphanage, if you would like to help a child, $50 a month, We have 13. We're just keeping it to 13 because we have only small building to house them. So please be in prayer. All right, please open our Bible in Genesis 25. I try to keep it short so we can go home early. Amen. You're all tired. See, as they said, you preach long, you cannot come back. You preach short, you can always come back. I have one pastor in Maryland. He said, if you preach only in 20 minutes, all the offering tonight will be yours. So I preach in 18 minutes. All right, verse 24, the Bible says here, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sat pottage, and Esau came into from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What point shall the birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear me to this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. Bless thy people continually, Lord God, as we learn thy word. Help us to listen carefully as the Holy Spirit, Lord God, continually speaks upon our hearts. We rejoice, for we have the freedom to study and to worship their Father in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I would share, always remember remember the time when Samuel was probably about 12 years old. He was with Eli in the temple, and suddenly he heard a voice, and he stood up and went to Eli and said, Eli, you called me? And then, no, go back to your room. And then another voice, he heard another voice. For the second time, he went to Eli and said, no, just go back to your room. The third time, he heard the voice again. He went to Eli, but now this time Eli said, when you would hear that again, you'd say, speak, Lord, for I listen. So he went back to his room. He heard the voice, and there he said, speak, Lord, for I listen. Three things that you can see in the life of Samuel when he was 12 years old that we must have today. Three things. Number one, I must listen. Many times we come to church and we never heard the voice of God. And if God, if you would say, I have not heard from God when we came to church, there's something wrong. Because every time we come to church and the word of God is preached, there's something for us. There is something for us. So I must listen. We must listen carefully. Not only that Samuel have that attitude, I must listen, but also I must learn. As we listen to the word of God, we learn something. Dr. Lee Robertson says, I have read the Bible many, many times, but every time he would read the passage of the scripture, the same verse, it refreshes his soul. That was his statement. As we read the Bible every day, every morning, we are refreshed, and so we learn every day.
Three things we must. I must learn, I must listen, I must learn, and I must lead what the words say. I must learn to do it, to respond, to act upon it. What does the Bible say? Thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That should be an attitude that we must have today. I must learn to listen. Learn the word of God and leave what the Bible says.
Amen.
It will be a great blessing. Young people, when I got saved, I was 14 years old. Thank God you're born in this country where you have all every opportunity to study and learn. When my childhood is very hard, I cannot even buy a shoes. No shoes when I go to school. For 6 years, I never wore shoes. But I have to walk 5 kilometers, or what is that, 2 miles or more, to school, back and forth. But I must go there and learn. Never have books, just one notebook and one pencil. No light, just a lamp. But I learned to study because I have a goal in my life. My parents cannot send me to an expensive university, but I work hard. Never complain. I love my parents. Here, parents might not be able to support you. You sue the parents. What kind of mentality is that? Crazy. And then they will publicize it. This media. So these young people will see it. Shame. What a shame. Study hard. Study hard. Amen.
Amen.
Young people, you study hard. Listen to the voice of God. The Bible says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't waste your life to the things in the world. This world doesn't care about your future. He doesn't care. This world will destroy your future. But God cares. Amen?
Amen.
God cares. Oh, you think many things in the world can do something for you? Nothing. When Esau and Jacob was about 15 years old, Abraham visited them. He called in the two, Esau, Jacob, 15 years old. They sat. And Abraham gave them a sermon. Remember these boys, what happened to me. He gave his testimony. Many years ago, I was there in the land, and God talked, and suddenly God appeared and talked to me. And he said, I must leave this place. And this and that, I must go to a place where God has called me. And I did that, Abraham said. And the Lord blessed me. I follow what God has told me, and he blessed me. This is what I am going to tell you, Esau and Jacob. I want to tell you, boys, you are now 15 years old. What happened to me? What happened to your father? God has blessed us because we obey God that called us in that land. Now I want you to do it. Follow what God said. Esau, Jacob, Esau, especially you, you're the firstborn. You have the birthright. You will become the leader of the village one day. You will be blessed one day because you are the elder. You have this responsibility. You have this blessing, Esau. They heard Abraham. But after a few years, here's the situation. Oh, I'm going to die. What good is this birthright to me? This evening, a few minutes, I would like to share you the worst bargain in history of the Bible. Bargain. You know, bargain in other countries, like in the Philippines or in Middle East, bargains means you are making sure that the price will go down. You know, you are bargaining the price. In the Philippines, when you say $100, they'll tell you $20. That's how we bargain. 100, no, 20. Here, 100, no, 102. Because you have a tip. So, bargain in the United States it simply means trading. You trade. Here, the first worst bargain that you will see here is that Esau bargained his birthright. Weren't just a bowl of soup. Imagine that. The firstborn, a firstborn, you will become the head of the tribe and a family. As a firstborn, you will have all the blessing or favor. As a firstborn, you will have the privileges that a son would have. As a firstborn. Imagine he exchanged it, he bargained it, he traded for a bowl of soup. Imagine that. Now imagine what God has given us, my dearly beloved in the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, and God has given you power to become His son. Amen. Amen. We belong to the family of God now. Amen. Amen. You are now a child of God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died on the cross was buried and rose from the dead. And one day we heard the gospel of salvation and we have received Christ as our own personal Savior. We become God's child and a citizen of heaven. One day we will be with God in heaven. Amen. Amen. We'll rejoice. But while we're here, why we bargain our testimony? Why we bargain our time? Why we bargain our treasure? Instead of living for the Lord, instead of our life shine before men, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen. They will see Christ in us. Apostle Paul says, we are conformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That they would see Christ in us. Amen. They will see Christ in us. They will see the power of God in our life. They will see. See, we profess to be Christians. We say we're Christians, followers of Christ. Do they see Christ in us? Amen. Every day. In our lives, how many minutes we spend in our prayer or in the Word of God? No wonder why our lives as a testimony shrinking because we spend more time in that flat screen television. You know why many of us, many Christians, get tired and so lonely, and they have no solution to their problem. They are looking on the answer on the Facebook because the Facebook have all of this quotation. Facebook, other than face, you're facing that computer, the Facebook. When you have problems, looking for quotation, just face the book. Amen. He will have all the answer to our problems. Not quotation, but the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God will give us the answer to all our problems. The Word of God. Who among us here have no problem? Every one of us have problem. Hear the Word of God of the answer. Amen. Learn. Listen. And as you learn it and listen to it, you leave what the Bible says and you will never go wrong. Don't bargain the testimony. Don't bargain your treasure. Oh, I must have this, I must that, I must buy this, I must buy that. Don't do it. I'd rather invest, amen, in something that it will never rust or never, you never lose the money. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you where to invest. Invest in mission. Your money will not go bankrupt. Yeah? Oh, they say economy in America is dying, it's dying, it's dying. It's your fault. Why you complain? Right? Oh, it's dying, it's dying. I keep on telling you, when you watch and then when you go to church, you call a pastor, oh brother, we are dying, economy, the people. Well, it's their fault. Don't complain. You elected once, you elected twice. You're crazy. What I'm saying is, it's not about the government. It's not about the all countries, their economy is dying. It will be that way. Rapture is just at the door. Amen. Amen. It's not about who is in the office. Oh, keep on complaining. It's about that thing. It's not about that man. It's not about the leader. It's about us. Are we doing something for the Lord? Amen. Because if we invest to God, look what happened. Even the Corinthians, the Macedonians, they are very poor, yet they invest at Apostle Paul's ministry. And Apostle Paul says what? And my God shall supply all your needs. Amen. He will supply all your needs. And God never filed bankruptcy. Amen. He'll never file bankruptcy. Amen. And He is the source of everything that we have in our life. So invest to God, and He will make sure that the investment you will have a dividends for eternity. Yes. Oh, yes. And those are the dividends that you see right there. Souls. Amen. 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 Don't waste it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, instead of buying something that will make your body suffer. Amen. Just invest it right there. Amen. Don't let the devil destroy your treasure. I have one man that I know. 40 seconds. He said, he was saved many years ago. But something in his life, something happened that he turned his back to God. But in 1999, he said that the Lord just gripped his heart. He kneeled down. He pulled over in the Interstate 65. He pulled over there somewhere in Kentucky. And he repented. From the time he backslid till 99, he calculated his tithes and gave to the church. You know how much? 23 million. Amen? Amen? So look for backslider. Are you a backslider? Repent. It's true. It's true. I know the man. I know him. He visited Thailand every other year. His business is going down, going down, going down. But he said, God is faithful. Amen. When his business is going down, he still keep on giving the same thing. The same thing. His company never gave him something for about 6 months, he said. But he's still giving. After 6 months, the company gave him threefold of the amount that he needs to receive every month. That's a blessing. Then one day he said he's trying to clean his house because he has no work. Business is going down. He went to the garage cleaning this property or his garage, and then he carried this box. It's heavy. He said it's garbage. He threw it in the trunk. Or the trunk, not trunk, what do you call it? The back of the pickup truck. Trunk? Okay. Okay. And then, why is it heavy? He went back. He opened it. It's gold coins worth $50,000. Guess what happened? Instead of using that money to build his company, he gave it to the field. Amen? And still God blessed him. He said, God has given you power to get wealth. So it's in the power of your hand to release it. Amen? Can you ask God, Lord, can you give me money? No. Every time you ask like this, right? When you go to your dad, can I have $1? Will you do this? Oh, no. He'll spank you. But you always use this, right? Can I have? And when your dad will put something there, you'll close it. Will you say, can you give me another dollar? You have to release that first. Amen. And when there is no more, he'll give you more. See, the same thing. When there is no more in your hand, he'll bless you more. Amen. Amen. It's right there. Right there. Invest. Don't bargain it. Don't waste it. Amen. Use it for the glory of God. And your talent for God, your talent, the things that you can do for the Lord, do it for God. Amen. And remember that song, Five Rows Back? Five rows back, I remember it well, the story of Jesus I heard them tell. They ushered me in with a warm and tender smile, and five rows back, I sat. Soon the choir were singing just as I am, and from five rows back, I came. Why? Somebody ushered him in. Somebody smiled. Amen. If you are looking for a friend, you cannot find one. But be a friend. You can find a lot of people that needs a friend. Amen. I went out to find a friend and could not find one. I went out to be a friend, and friends are everywhere. My friend today will never come again. Be a blessing, be a friend. Encourage someone, take time to care. Let your words heal, not wound. Amen? The talent that you have, the time that you have, the words you can say to your brethren, it should encourage, it should heal the wounds, not to wound them. And that talent, my friend, is something that you can never buy. Be a blessing. Amen. That's the purpose. That we can be a blessing. And one day somebody will stand here. Oh, thank God for that lady, for that brother. Because he smiled. Because of his time. Because he has done this, I'm here. Oh, sometimes many obstacles in our Christian life. We exchange obstacle in proving God's grace. We run away from problem. Problem are always there. But God never leaves us. God's grace is more sufficient. Amen. The more obstacle you have, the more opportunities there are for God to do something for him. Because with all of those problems, when you overcome it, you will shine and people will look at you. Amen. Your life will be a blessing. There is a price to pay if we want to be successful and at the same time useful or to be used by God. It requires obedience, will, and discipline to move on. Don't sit back and rest on yesterday's success. Wins, losses are temporary. Wins and losses are temporary. We have to keep growing with God if we want to live a blessed and victorious life. Why do we need to live? Or why do we need to live with regrets? When we can serve God now, why wait into something God can do now? I'm encouraging you, don't bargain something that you can do for the Lord. Somebody says, yesterday is history. Today is an opportunity. Tomorrow is a mystery. Dr. David Livingstone says, if it is an honor to be commissioned by an earthly king, why is it a sacrifice to serve the King of Kings? Again, Dr. Livingstone says, if it is an honor, a great honor, to be commissioned by an earthly king, why is it a sacrifice to serve the King of Kings? I tell my people, my brethren, is it a sacrifice for us to go to the field? Oh no, it's a privilege. Is it a sacrifice for me and my family to be in Thailand? Oh no, it's a great honor to serve God. Is it a sacrifice to do something for the Lord? No, it's a great privilege to do something for God. Because when you sacrifice and do something for the Lord, He will honor it and He will bless you. He'll bless you. When we were new in Thailand, my wife got sick. We have no money for a surgery. I went to many hospitals to bargain. But nobody would bring or give a good price. So this hospital, good hospital, says $2,000, they'll do it. So, right, I have no money, but you are in pain. Go ahead, do surgery. I went home. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I cried like a baby. At around 6 a.m., my phone rang. And he says, is this Brother Goodlife? Yes, ma'am. He said, I would like to send you money because our church have a DBBS and all the kids for 1 week, they put, a dime, and they have collected $3,000. He said, this is all for you. I needed $2,000. Amen. See the grace of God. And I said, God, when God calls, He will never put you to a place where His grace is not sufficient. Don't bargain. Be a blessing. You know that song? Out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. And you'll be a blessing to your community, to your church, to your country. Don't complain. Don't bargain. Just honor God. God bless you. Amen.